All right, come on in, everybody. Welcome back. TNHoller.com is where you can find us at the TN Holler. We also have Hollers hollering all across the state thanks to your support. Your chipping in monthly really keeps us going. It really does help. If you're buying or selling a home in Middle Tennessee, do it through Elisa Parker. She really helps us out. If you need a lawyer, Abby Rubenfeld is who you need. If you need any jewelry, AJ Martin is not your grandmother's jewelry store. Thank you to them for supporting us, for helping us continue to let people know what's going on here in Tennessee, where, as our guest today just pointed out, we may or may not be a democracy anymore. So I think hopefully if you follow us by now, you've seen article in The Atlantic asks, is Tennessee a democracy? And Ann is here with us today. Ann, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Big fan of your work, and I was really excited to hear that you were actually writing this article. And I actually spoke to Ann as she was writing this article. We met for coffee in Nashville to talk about a topic that is very near and dear to our hearts here at The Holler, because it's something that we have been trying to sound the alarm about basically ever since we started in 2019. And I think more and more people are starting to realize that this is a question they need to be asking. So, Ann, I guess I want to start by asking you, what made you decide to write this article, and how did you decide to focus on Tennessee?
So it was a little bit serendipitous. As you know, and maybe others know, I've lived on and off for the last 20 years in Poland. And I spend a lot of time traveling in Central Europe, work a lot on Russia. I write a lot about Ukraine. I have this nagging sense that some of the things that I had seen happening in other democracies, in Poland, in Hungary, in Turkey, in Russia, although 15 years ago, were beginning to happen in the U.S. And of course, you know, we can all see the grand drama, you know, Trump, the White House, January the 6th. You hear about Texas, you hear about Florida. You know, those are the states that get a lot of national news. They're big swing states. But I also started to hear about North Carolina, about Tennessee, and about the ways in which state-level institutions are beginning to look like the institutions that I know from Central Europe. You know, the way in which, you know, once you have a single party controlling everything, the executive, the legislature, the courts, you begin to get strange things happening in politics. And I thought, let's pick Tennessee. Of course, I saw the story last April when two members of the legislature were kicked out. I followed that story and I thought, well, let's dig a little bit deeper. I understand Tennessee is part of the United States of America. The Bill of Rights applies there. People have freedom of speech and so on. Nevertheless, the ways in which, as I said, a single party being in control of all institutions over a long period of time begins to warp the way that people think even had begun to interest me. So before coming, I spent a lot of time talking to people. I made some contacts. I found you. I started following you, actually, and some other Tennessee publications, and decided to come down and see how much it was the same and how much it was different.
This is something that we've been talking about for a long time. It's not always Putin's Russia that takes you away from being a democracy. It's things like voice votes in committees. I've seen the votes go one way, but because of a voice vote, the committee chair can just decide to call it another way. Gloria Johnson trying to talk on the House floor and being ignored for hours at a time. Microphones being cut. Voter suppression. The gerrymandering of Nashville. These are all things that you mentioned in your very good article that I think everybody should read on The Atlantic. In the countries that you're referencing, is it the chipping away that happens first before we get to like the wholesale erasure of democracy? Is this similar to what you've seen in other places?
We have this idea that if there's a coup d'etat and democracy ends, that there's some big dramatic moment. The lieutenant colonel goes into the presidential palace and shoots at this into the ceiling, and then someone takes over the television station and they start playing Swan Lake. That's our image of what a coup looks like. But in practice, most democracies, when they fall in stages, and it can be very, very gradual. 1,000 cuts, famously once described as salami tactics. Interesting in Israel right now, where there's a similar kind of slow motion attack on the Israeli judiciary going on there. Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, tried to do it all at once. He got a huge pushback. Now he's trying to do it piece by piece. And you're now seeing these big demonstrations on the street. And very often, some of the things that happen first don't seem like that big of a deal. So in Poland, one of the first attacks on the independence of the Polish judiciary came in the form of a law lowering the retirement age for judges. What's the big deal about that? Dozens of judges will have to leave all at once. And then suddenly the ruling party gets the chance to appoint all of the new ones, you know, literally friends of the prime minister or friends of the ruling party leader. And that can be an assault on democracy just as much as, you know, the tanks in the streets and the lieutenant colonel shooting at the portrait of the president. Gradually, the public loses trust. Gradually, the public becomes more polarized. People have to choose sides between what feels like to them extremes. Politicians begin acting more and more like activists. And then very slowly, you get something that looks less and less democratic. And you can see that process happening in some American states.
Just recently, this supermajority, Republican supermajority, created a 3-judge chancery court to hear challenges to their unconstitutional laws. They also created a state charter approval appeal board that if a local government doesn't want a charter school, they can just appeal to Governor Lee's rigged board. Attorney General Scrimeti here is now going after corporations for their diversity practices. He and 18 other AGs want your info if you go out of state to get an abortion in the places where it's legal. It seems like the guardrails are gone. Is Tennessee a democracy? What did you find when you came here? And like, how would you answer that question?
You know, it's a declining democracy. It is in effect a one-party system. Single party is in control and isn't going to lose control. I mean, because it's a state and it's not its own country, there are some checks and balances. So you have federal courts, which can block Tennessee courts and which sometimes do, as you know. Although I have to say, I mean, the relationship between Nashville city government and the Tennessee state government is very reminiscent of the Budapest city government and its relationship to the Hungarian government. Metropolitan areas having their own politics, which are different from the higher level politics, is one we know from a lot of other places, typical in a lot of American red states. But in terms of what the state government controls, which is, as I say, not everything, you do see signs of the minority having no rights, even majority opinions. I mean, you have a majority in favor of various forms of gun control in Tennessee, and that majority opinion is no longer reflected in the state legislature.
It's gun control. It's Medicaid expansion. It's even our abortion laws. And I think that's a really important point to make, is that so many of these policy positions are actually not favored by the majority.
Right. No, but that's also very typical. Once the institutions are hijacked and once the voting system is gerrymandered or fixed or rigged, or I mean, it's different, works differently in different places, so that the other side can't win, then you begin to have this situation where politics become kind of like performance art. I mean, people act as if they're doing something on a stage when they're in the legislature, but they're not really reflecting what people think. It struck me that in Tennessee, you know, you have this at a very high level. I mean, you know it. You've done so much work taking clips, short videos of some of the stranger things that happen on the floor of the Tennessee legislature and showing them to people. And people look at them and laugh, or they say, well, that can't be right. That sounds very strange. The language being used by many politicians is so far away from real life. That is a genuine sign of democratic decay.
Tennessee 3 were up for expulsion. That was the world finding out what we've been trying to tell them for a long time. And anybody that had followed us up until that point was not surprised by what was happening, was not surprised that it was those three that went and stood in the well. It showed the world what's going on here. That's why I appreciate articles like the one you wrote, because it really does ask the right question. The end of the article, you focused on a thing that I think it's really important to focus on, talked about this leaked tape that we posted about inside the Republican caucus after Gloria Johnson was not expelled and the two Justins were. We got a leaked audio of Republicans arguing with each other. Jody Barrett had decided not to vote to expel Gloria, and it made them look like the racists that they are, frankly. One of the quotes that Sapicki said, first of all, he said, you know, Democrats are not our friends. They're going to destroy the Republic. You got to do what's right, even if you think it might be wrong. I just wondered what your feeling was hearing that from Scott Sapicki and why you chose to close your article with that, which I'm glad you did.
Yeah, so you drew my attention to those quotes. What struck me about that was, you know, here you have a political party that controls everything in Tennessee. I mean, all the institutions, legislature, both houses, the governor's house, and so on. And yet they don't feel happy. You know, they don't feel satisfied. They don't feel like they're winning. Any challenge, however small, even from three people shouting into megaphones on the well of the legislature, feels to them like an existential threat. You know, there is something about total power is very ultimately unsatisfying. Okay, they control everything, and yet stuff doesn't happen the way it's supposed to. This is something we know from dictatorships, actually. I wrote books about the Soviet Union in the past, and I'm not making that direct comparison, but One of the things that happens is that when you have total control and then when you say everything is going to be like this and now things are going to go the way we want them to go. And then when they don't, you get a kind of paranoia or anger or sense of victimization. We deserve to be in charge. You know, here we are. You know, why aren't people listening to us? Why aren't they doing what they want? You have some people who are convinced that what they're doing is blessed by God. They have a higher right to make decisions than anybody else. Then you get this kind of paranoia. It's almost as if having more power can make you more radical. So instead of becoming, you know, okay, we're in charge of everything, we can be magnanimous, we can let the Democrats, you know, get in a few amendments or make a few points, the opposite happens. You know, we're in charge, things aren't going the way we want. Therefore, we have to shut down everybody. That's a pattern that I've seen before. New level of radicalization. Not just that we won, not just we're in charge, we're allowed to make everyone else shut up. This is very radical and this is quite dangerous for everybody.
One thing to ask you before I let you go, but I want people to know that they can follow you on Twitter at Ann Applebaum. The one thing I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about before I let you go is there's a new article reported from the New York Times saying Trump and allies forged plans to increase presidential power in 2025. I saw you tweeted about that. And I wonder when you see that, obviously you're not surprised, but how worried should people be about what a second Trump term would look like?
People should be worried. This is a group of people who, again, are convinced that they're right. Some of them because God gave them that right, that power, quite determined to reshape the United States so that they don't lose, so that they keep power and so that they can make the kinds of permanent changes to the system that they were unable to make during Trump's first 4 years. So yes, I would be very worried. I mean, I would put some faith in our courts and our legislature to fight back, but that there will be people who want to remake the executive in the United States and make it more monarchical and more powerful, I don't doubt. And By the way, whoever is the Republican president, if there was the next Republican president, I think would have a similar agenda.
And thank you for joining us. Thanks for writing the article at Ann Applebaum on Twitter. Follow her, check out her writing. It's really good. And we appreciate that you shined your light on us.
Thank you. And thanks for the time you gave me in Nashville. And thanks for, you know, this today.
All right. So that's Ann Applebaum. Again, the article is Tennessee a democracy? It's a question we've been asking for a really long time. If you follow us, I don't think you're surprised. I believe it's in many ways a theocracy. If you went down to the Capitol and you ask pretty much any Republican, who are they there to serve? They will tell you God first. They try to make the Bible the state book pretty regularly. They just made the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives a government-funded one. Governor Lee's main priority is to expand education, privatization in Tennessee, which is his way of steering funds to Christian schools, religious schools. It's at the root of so much of what we see here. And so I do believe we're a theocracy. I think what sets Tennessee apart in a lot of ways is that we have the highest percentage of evangelicals in the entire country. I go to temple. I'm not faulting anybody for their beliefs, their faith, but when it starts to encroach on our government, then we seem to have a problem on our hands. And you can justify a lot of things when you're doing it in the name of God, which I think is what Ann was sort of talking about at the end, pointing to that Sapicki quote, which was pretty alarming in the leaked audio that we posted a while back. Generally speaking, I think supermajorities are not good. One party rule is not good, no matter who's in charge. But there are things that are happening here that are not happening in other states. Other states did not expel legislators for standing up and speaking their mind and fighting for gun rights. Other states do not have the level of voter suppression that we have here. We have the highest percentage of disenfranchised Black people in the entire country. A Byzantine set of rules for them to re-enfranchise themselves. And we just had a woman get 6 years for voting in Memphis, which was overturned because the DA hid evidence. I mean, this is stuff that's not happening everywhere. And this is stuff we should all be on guard for. And it's what happens in a state where one party is completely out of control. I don't live in California, so I can't tell you exactly what's going on there, but I can tell you what I've seen in our capital. It's not healthy for anybody. They're only governing for a small percentage of our state. If you say you don't like it, leave. Like, okay. I mean, I could say that about complaints about Biden. If you don't like it, leave the country. Like, where does that get us? We live here. We're trying to express ourselves, present the truth, give you a chance to form your own opinions about it. You may not like what we have to say. That's fair. I try to talk to people about this stuff. You see me chasing these guys down at the Capitol. It's not because I want to scream at them and yell at their backs. I try to talk to them. They won't talk to me. Tell me what I'm supposed to do when this Republican supermajority unanimously votes to force raped little girls to carry to term an amendment that specifically was going to just allow raped little girls to have abortions. They voted it down unanimously. Majority leader walks out, William Lamberth, and I ask him to talk to me and he won't. What am I supposed to do? So yeah, I'm yelling at these guys when they walk away. We don't have discourse here. We don't have normalcy. Mics are being cut all the time. Even if you agree with a lot of what they're doing, you shouldn't be agreeing with how they're doing it. Justin Jones at Netroots Nation this week, they asked him about the rise of fascism in Tennessee, and here's what he had to say.
Are you seeing the rise of fascism in Tennessee, and how are they trying to like enforce that?
My first week there, I'm on the elevator. Senator Jack Johnson makes sure to tell me that you are worthless and you don't belong here. You go to committee, you have Senator Paul Sherrill say, as we're talking about a death penalty bill, we should bring back hanging by a tree. We have members who file bills to protect Confederate monuments because that was one thing that we finally got removed and they were so angry about it. The statue of KKK Grand Wizard Nathan Bedford Forrest that sat in the most prominent location in our capital. You know, we love to go around the world talking about democracy, but in our state, we don't have democracy. We come from a state that is the birthplace of the Klan. Their heirs run our government. After that experience with Jack Johnson, I started to realize that I'm not here to make friends, but we're here to make change.
Come on.
Even some of my Democratic colleagues, there's a timidity there. Even when I got expelled, they said, go up and apologize, and then maybe they won't expel you. This is what our leadership told us.
Wow.
I said, you know who needs to apologize is a speaker to these families, to these young people.
That's right.
And so one thing I learned when we fight fascism, because it is fascism, it's one party rule, is that we cannot bow down. Tennessee is the birthplace of the Klan, but it's also the birthplace of the Nashville student movement. There will be no civil rights movement without Nashville. We are the city of Diane Nash, of John Lewis, of Bernard Lafayette. We are the city of students who said we're going to continue the freedom rides after the buses were bombed in Anniston. We are the state where that continued. And so we come from this duality of white supremacy, but we're also the state where Ida B. Wells challenged lynching. We're also the state of Highlander folks, but we're also the state of the Clinton Nine. I mean, we have a powerful legacy, and so we're grounded in that. And that's what we see when we go into the Capitol. And so these fascists, yes, they rule our state. We have one party rule. We don't allow dissent. Because everyone said, how was it to be expelled? What were you thinking? I said, it was just another day in the Tennessee General Assembly. Because we were not allowed to speak in committee. We're not recognized on the floor. We're not treated as equal members. I got ruled out of order more than any member had been ruled to that point. Because when they shut off my microphone, I kept talking. And as you saw, when they shut off our microphone, I pulled out a megaphone out of my pocket.
Yes, Tom Biz.
So that's Justin essentially saying what Ann said in her article. It's just the truth. They got expelled first time in hundreds of years. Like, there's no justifying that. And what they did was downright heroic because they were willing to sacrifice their seats, not knowing if they were going to be put back. They didn't know how that was going to work to show the world what was really going on here. The way that it's being implemented in Tennessee, dangerous and dark, and the guardrails are gone. It seems like it's just going to get more and more extreme. What gives me hope is the young people that are showing up at the Capitol still, that are making their voices heard, keeping the pressure on, voting more and more. As young people step into their power, things will change for the better. And I just hope that we still actually have some semblance of a democracy when that happens. Tennessee seems to be the guinea pig for those who want exactly the opposite. And that's a scary thing. Thanks for following. We'll see you next time. Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee. To Tennessee.